Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 488th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And of course, we are brought to you by the SGPN merch store, 15% off everything when you use promo code PLAYOFFS.
Hi-de-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to another exciting edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 488, it says in my top corner. This one's going out to, actually, I've changed it, Gumby, Mickle. It's going out to Mickle on Facebook, who watched our KSW video and critiqued how I say Polish last name. So thank you, Mickle. I do need critiquing. That is true. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, one who mispronounces everyone's name. My co-host is sick today, so everyone be nice to him. All right, don't give him a hard time, just let him get the work done here, get his picks in, and no one give him any lip. It's a TFC 297 that we're talking about this week, of course, in my backyard, Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And what a card it is. Well, if you like Canadian fighters, it's got a lot of those, but maybe not heck of a lot of star power up top. I'm not sure if Saudi Arabia would reject this card or not if the UFC tried to host it there. Who's to say? Let's bring in the sick man himself, and we shall get moving with our prelim picks. It's one and only Sicko Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Do you think the reason why they don't have a lot of star power on this is Canada in general right now does not have a lot of star power?
No.
Like who's your biggest star? Is it Jillian Robertson?
On this card,
I just mean biggest Canadian star right now in the UFC.
Well, there isn't one.
Yeah,
don't know.
Maybe Jillian Robertson. Like, she might have the most.
I don't know. I mean, no issue with her, but yeah, I don't know about that.
I think most people
Jacid Vicious may be more popular than her, possibly.
I don't know if she's more popular, but she's probably a better prospect. Mike Malott seems to be getting a lot of shine this weekend. So, maybe we could use him, but yeah, there ain't a ton of them.
it's been barren ever since the days of GSP, really. Rory McDonald was supposed to pick up the mantle. That didn't really happen, at least not in the UFC. And then after that, it's been quiet. We got Olivier Aubin-Mercier in PFL, but he didn't really make it. He did good in the UFC, but didn't really make a lot of waves. His personality really didn't come out fully until he got away from the shackles of the UFC, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think it was there. I think it maybe just not highlighted the way it is in PFL. Yeah. You guys hung your hat on Hakeem Dawodu for a minute, too. Yeah, that was your guy for a quick second.
Yes. Thoughts on, I mentioned it, thoughts on the Saudi Arabia card that's no more, and it's going to be a UFC Apex card. Apparently, Jarzine Rosenstrike is not worth $20 million to the Saudis.
Was that the main event? Because I know...
I don't know if it was the main event.
Yeah, I kind of kept seeing matchups and being like, ah, you know, the Saudis will mandate that they come with, like, something real for a main event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they just pulled it, which is one of the more hilarious things that's happened to Dana White. He's like, you want our, what was it, $22 million a card or something like that? They promised them in... you want our $22 million, put some fighters on it. Which, to be fair, makes sense, right? Like, they pretty much don't have to worry about the cost of fighters. They could load it up if they wanted to, because $22 million is going to cover any card's worth of fighters. You know, unless you cherry pick the best 22, or, you know, the highest paid 22 in the UFC. Like, then maybe not. But even then. It makes sense that they wanted to pull it. If I'm giving you $22 million, give me more than Biggie Boy.
hate to side with the Saudis on something, but it's kind of nice to see if someone stick it to the UFC finally. Thoughts on any of the big fights that I did this? I set you up with this before a few episodes ago, and you said no, you had no.
Thoughts. I just said no.
That's what any of the other fights that have been announced recently.
The Max Holloway Justin Gaethje one's kind of fascinating to me. Is Max gonna try a 155 pound run? That's probably the best move for him right now. Nobody wants to watch him fight Volk for a fourth time. So that kind of makes sense. I don't necessarily love the matchup being that like Poirier battered him like what was that 3 or 4 years ago. And I think Gaethje's just like a touch better, and Max is probably a touch slower than he used to be. So, you know, I maybe don't love that match for Max, but it makes sense if that's how he wants to progress in his career.
Yeah, it's a tough one, I think, for him. What are the what's the line for that?
So it opened at -140. I saw for Justin Gaethje, and I messaged the group immediately. I'm like, hey, just so you know, -140, Justin Gaethje right now. Act accordingly. I'm pretty sure the exact words I put in there. And within another 45 minutes, I think Gaethje was -165, which is a little bit more of where I would have like lined it to start if that were me. Like I probably would have lined that -170s, -180s. So like it's starting to get close to probably where I would have put it. But it started super low.
Yeah, Gumby got that line steamed up by all the degens in the Discord. So if you want to get lines before they get steamed up by the gens, obviously get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discords. So yeah, that's a good fight. And then Jim Miller, Bobby Green, you think that's a good matchup for UFC 300?
It's exactly what you need for a Jim Miller matchup. Something that's a household name. Let's steal that line again. Household name.
A headliner. He was a headliner this last year or so.
I would say you can't call yourself like a legitimate UFC fan in 2024 if you've like never heard of Bobby Green before. So like he's a name that people who follow the sport definitely know, which is what you kind of needed for Jim Miller. I don't think they had any interest in him going up a weight class. I know there were some talks about Matt Brown, but I think they like him continuing to be competitive because it's nice to see him keep fighting. But if we kept seeing him get knocked out or dominated in there, like it would be less nice. So like, you know, could Bobby Green beat him? Sure. But like, you know, I can see Jim Miller pulling that off as well.
Well, +170 if you like that, Gumby.
Yeah. I'm probably going to marinate on it a little more because his striking looked good against Gabriel Benitez, but he did wear it really terribly. Like his face took some damage. So, you know, who knows? Come fight time, we'll see how I feel.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm not sure what side I'm falling on. So we're doing the prelims today, UFC 297. What are your thoughts on the lines or the making picks for the prelim portion of this card?
I think we're going to disagree a lot. That's what I'm
going to say.
I don't think we're going to get along today.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just have a feeling that I'm picking against people you like.
I don't like anyone, first of all.
I'm maybe going to a little bit too underdog heavy. Like, So I don't think we're going to agree very much.
Tomorrow's show is my underdog heavy show. today's show, not so much. Who knows? Maybe you can persuade me. You have persuaded me before. I don't think And I, sometimes it pays off when I when
that,
I
that should have been the that should have been the stat you tracked in 2024.
Yeah,
how many times did Gumby get Jeff off a correct pick?
Yeah, exactly. It's true. I should track that. One thing I did check. Talk about home advantage because this is a card full of Canadians on Canadian soil. Last year, what do you think the hometown fighter? I did it their home country, or if it's like Australia, I included New Zealand. If it's the Abu Dhabi or one of those countries, I included Muslim fighters that get all the cheers down there, stuff like
From the region.
So what percentage? What's the win percentage of the hometown fighters gonna be last year?
Did you leave American fighters out altogether?
Yeah, American fighters were out out, and if they're fighting against a countryman, I left that out as well.
Okay, I would say hometown advantage 72%.
64, not as big as
you. Okay. Two out of three. I would say some of that is probably a little bit of a bump. Some of that is also when you're from the hometown.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get some favorable matchups.
Yep, exactly. But it doesn't matter to us. We just want to know if they're going to win or not. But yeah, the Canadians did very well in the Canadian event too. So keep that in mind. Because we're going to have we're going to give you some Canadian fights right now, Canadian fighters. After I tell you about DraftKings, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, which are over. According to Gumby, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Does sick Gumby have any sick lines for DraftKings for us?
I mean, like just check the over and unders for every single line on this fight card because they dropped those earlier this week, and I noticed that the numbers in general just look better than anywhere else.
Oh, okay, all right. So over under round length, we're talking.
Yeah, totals and stuff like that. Yeah,
totals, right? The Yanni special, right?
Yeah, if you love Yanni's favorite picks,
yes, exactly.
This is the place for you.
All right, so download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for terms and deposit restrictions. I said that wrong. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Just boom. All right, let's get some picks now. UFC 297 this Saturday, Scotiabank Arena, home of the Maple Leafs and the Raptors in Toronto. We are starting with the early prelims, which start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. ESPN Plus, UFC Fight Pass. And we got a Canadian in the opener. No surprise there. Flyweights. The Canadian Malcolm Gordon versus Jimmy Flick from the United States of America. Jimmy the Brick Flick. 16-7 with 14 submissions. So we know how, or as they say, what side of the bread his, I screwed this one up before, didn't I? What side of the, his bread is buttered? Oh, crap. I screwed up
again.
I don't
think this is an American expression.
Let's move on, shall we? Anyhow, he's good at submissions. If there's an expression that says he's good at submissions, that's what he is. He's been knocked out 6 times. Not so good at eating punches. 1-2 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight, both via TKO. He's not won since December 2020. 1-0 in Dana White contender series. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt or hat that I'm wearing. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code. Get 15% off. Mr. Flick has fought at bantamweight and featherweight. 1-0 in Bellator, 2010 pro MMA debut, 0-1 in Muay Thai. Do you know who he fought in Muay Thai, Dan?
God, no. Why is he fighting Muay Thai?
Chris Gutierrez is who he fought.
That sounds terrible for Jimmy Flick.
Well, he lost. It was 2014, I think. So there you go. You were right. It was terrible. 1-0 as a kickboxer, more active landing strikes than Gordon. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 3.06 strikes per minute, including his win on Contender Series. Plus 175, Malcolm X Gordon, 14-7, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted twice. So he's been finishing all of his losses. 2-4 in the UFC. He's gone 0-2. Before that, he went 2-2. Both of his past 2 losses have come via finish. He has missed weight recently as well. Used to fight up at bantamweight. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code. Miss Weight used to fight a bantamweight, 1-0 in Bellator, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 inches of reach on Flick. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.33 strikes per minute. He's at minus 190. Gumby, are we fading the Canadian or are we picking the Canadian?
No, we're riding with the Canadian here. Malcolm Gordon all day. It's half a fade on Flick and half also, I just think in general, Malcolm Gordon's kind of underrated. I went back and I watched that fight with Muhammad Mukhaev. He had Mukhaev's back at a point and like was looking to sink in a choke. And so like, if you're doing that on the ground against Muhammad Mukhaev, who is like on a short list of contenders for the title, you know, I don't think he's the best in the division by any stretch of the imagination, but like he's up there. And if you're doing that to him on the ground, you know, like Jimmy Flick's got some like crafty stuff he does, right? Like he had a flying triangle one time and you know, like he does that kind of stuff, but he's not a good wrestler. And Malcolm Gordon is kind of a good wrestler. And as long as Malcolm Gordon's like, nah, I ain't going to the ground, he is going to piece up Jimmy Flick on the feet, especially with the reach advantage. I mean, he'll have a speed advantage. He's a better striker. I mean, there's so many reasons to like Malcolm Gordon in this one. I don't think, apart from a Hail Mary, I'm thinking Jimmy Flick is going to catch a submission as he pulls guard and Malcolm Gordon follows him to the mat. Apart from that, you really can't draw a path to victory for Jimmy Flick for me.
Yeah. Malcolm Gordon is obviously the pick for me. I am not fading the fellow Canadian here. Gumby laid out pretty clearly why Gordon is the pick. All right. We're staying with flyweights, going to the women's side. Women's flyweight, the aforementioned Jasmine Jesuit-Vicious versus Priscilla Cachuera. Zombie girl would be Cachuera. 12-5 with 7 knockouts. She's been submitted 3 times. 4-5 in the UFC. She's won 2 of her last 3 and 4 of her last 6. Lost her last fight via submission, used to fight at bantamweight, has missed weight before, more active landing strikes. However, she's been outstruck in the UFC by 3.01 strikes per minute, plus 310. Jasmine Jesuit-Vicious, 9-3, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 3-2 in the UFC, 2-1 over her last 3, 5-2 over her last 7. Did lose her last fight, though. 1-0 Contender Series, 3 inches of reach on Cachuera. She's been outstruck in the UFC and Contender Series by 0.87 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Cachuera, minus 350. I was thinking hard about taking Cachuera here, but I don't think the odds should be what they are, but I'm going to side with Jesuit-Vicious here. I think she's the type of fighter who hometown crowd is going to help with. She just seems to be the kind that will get pumped up here. She's just relentless in the cage, and I think that's going to pay off for her. I think she'll be grinding Cachuera, probably take her down. And grind out a decision win is my pick if you want to be exact here. So JJ is the pick.
Yeah, I also debated Cachuera just because I saw the line and I was like, maybe I might Cachuera here. Because she is a good boxer and she's got big strength. But then yeah, you know, I kind of rewatched her getting taken down pretty easily and you know, reminded myself that Jasmine Jesuit-Vicious like manhandled Miranda Maverick. And so like as long as she stays away from that big shot early. I mean, this should be her taking her down, beating the hell out of her for 4.5 minutes and rinse and repeat for 3 rounds. Because, you know, Zombie Girl survives on the mat for the most part. It's not like she, you know, she's going to throw a sub up. It's not like she's really going to work to get up all that much or even have any success against Jazz DeVicius. But, like, I think she'll just survive that 15 minutes while Jazz just, you know, puts an absolute beating on her.
Yep. I agree, obviously. So there you go. We are on the seat. We're green. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more fights. You think we're going to disagree on the rest of them?
I think at least 3 of
just
them.
Some surprises coming? 3 of them?
I think 3 of them.
Let's see what happens with the next fight. The main event, Gumby, of the early prelims. There are some ..
It's like when it's like when we used to have Facebook prelims.
Oh, yes.
Everybody remembers Facebook prelims.
Of course. Facebook prelims, the good old days. All right. These are on ESPN Plus and UFC Fight Pass. So much better. Welterweights, Johan Lionesse versus Sam Patterson. So Canadian Lionesse, Jasmine Canadian, Malcolm Gordon Canadian. So far we've picked all Canadians. Let's see if we make it 3 in a row here. Tell you about Sam Patterson first. He is the future. I don't know of what, but he is the future, Gumby.
People love that nickname.
The future is Sam Patterson. Yes. They do love the nickname.
Thought it was Macy Barber.
Apparently, I thought so too. This future is 10-2-1. So 10 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He owns his rounds. He's been knocked out twice. So he really, really owns his rounds here. 0-1 the UFC, 1-0 contender series. Got TKO'd in his last fight. He's fight at lightweight. 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach. 4 years younger over Lionesse. More active landing strikes. He has been outstruck over his 2 fights, contender series and UFC fight, by 1.42 strikes a minute. He's at plus 125. Lionesse, the white lion, 9-2 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 1-2 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss for his last 3. He got submitted in his last fight. 1-0 in contender series. Was regional champion. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Patterson. However, he has been outstruck over, it would be 4 fights we have that stats for. He's been outstruck by 1.1 strikes per minute. He's at minus 148. All right. Are we sticking with Canadians or not, Gumby?
I've warned you guys about the tall guy defense. It's been bad lately. Time and time again, it's been bad lately. And the first person to really show truly how bad it could be was Sam Patterson, who had a 10-inch reach advantage over his last opponent and still managed to get flatlined with, like, the easiest right hand I've ever seen. Now he's going to be fighting a guy, and he's used to having a reach advantage, right? That's the thing.
Right.
And so, like, he had a reach advantage and still used it so poorly that a guy – well, like I said, he had a 10-inch reach advantage on, got inside and knocked him out in like a minute and 15 seconds. Now he's fighting a guy who pretty much has the same reach as him. Lionesse, I think it's a 2-inch difference in terms of reach.
Two.
Yeah, which is, like, you know, nothing compared to what Patterson is used to. So, like, if he does any of that backing up like that, dude, Lionesse is going to put him out hard, because that's the thing about Johan. Like, is his grappling great? Not particularly. Is he going to, you know, go toe-to-toe with you and outbox you for 15 minutes? Probably not, but he's definitely got the power to knock just about anybody out. Patterson just showed that his chin is maybe questionable. So, you know, give me the guy who's actually got some defense when it comes to striking, and give me the guy who's going to be clearly reaching Sam Patterson's chin more than once.
All right. See, did you think we were going to differ on any of those? Because we didn't, Gumby. We're on the same page.
I thought maybe you'd be on the same page as that one, but the differences are coming.
Things are going to get crazy in the next block here, Gumby.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll just pick everything exactly the same as me, and I'll lose my mind.
Crazy, as long as I don't get sick like you, too. another thing we do agree on is Kutt, K-U-T-T. Kutt is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. 2 things I am not. I've used that joke 3 times now. I'm still going to keep using it. I'm a dad. That's what we do. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And it's tons of fun. And it has, tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Kutt offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Kutt handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards is you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Reminder, Kutt is the... I was supposed to emphasize the... Let's do another Kutt. Reminder, Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. That rhymes, kind of. Head to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. That's the key there, ladies and gentlemen. K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. I do have to say, at least lady and gentlemen. I said ladies, but at least one lady listens, watches us. So lady and gentlemen. All right. Underdog Fantasy, we are making a push to hit a goal for Underdog Fantasy this month. We're having another little competition between us and the other podcasts on the network. So everyone sign up to Underdog Fantasy and help us out here. So Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA. They got it all. Everything that is in season, as my voice cracks. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, do you have any plays?
Yeah, they get the MMA lines up for this week already, is one of the things I love about them. And Malcolm Gordon's projection on his significant strikes, only 24.5. I think if he keeps it standing against Jimmy Flick, he'll definitely land more than those. So, yeah, give me the higher than on Malcolm Gordon's significant strikes.
Excellent. I may include that in the article I will do on sportsgamblingpodcast.com tomorrow. We'll be doing a UFC 297 underdog article with it. Three picks. So we'll see if that makes the cut or not. If not, you'll end up having four different picks from us. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right. Let's see if things get crazy here or not. Women's straw weights, Jillian Robertson versus Pollyanna Viana. Did you have trouble with this one at all, Gumby?
I did.
Okay, yeah, me too.
I had a lot of it.
The line is an issue. I've switched back and forth. People in the Discord are thinking you're going to be, like, Jong thought you're going to be right in on the Canadian here, but we'll see if Jong knows what he's talking about or not. I'm trying to see if I can get you to play your hand here for me, because I have to make the pick first, but you're not giving me anything, are you? You're being a poker face.
The problem is you don't really look at my face when we record, because
no,
I was there.
Okay, can we rewind? John thinks you're going to be right in on Jillian Robertson here, and you're going to make her part of us, her sub play part of a
Hungry Man Jong.
Hungry Man Jong, perhaps.
We'll have to see.
Damn it. All right, women's strawweight, Jillian Robertson versus Pollyanna Viana opens up the main card, the main prelim portion of the card. 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN News, ESPN Plus, and on the UFC's new television provider in Canada, Sportsnet. Makes no difference. It's not TSN, it's Sportsnet now. All right, let's tell you about the visitor from Brazil, Pollyanna Viana, Dama de Ferro. 13-6, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. So she's finished everyone. She owes us rounds. She's been submitted twice. 7-5 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss over her last three. She got submitted in her last fight. Was regional champion. Used to fight up at flyweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. 4 inches of reach on Robertson. Better striking sets. More active landing strikes than Robertson as well. And she's outstruck her opponents by about over half a strike a minute. She's at plus 0.56. And speaking of pluses, she's plus 220. So I'm saying this line is, I don't know. It feels like it should be more close in the pick'em range for me. But regardless, we shall move on. The Savage Jillian Robertson. Or is it Jillian the Savage Robertson? I think that sounds better.
I think it's in the middle.
All right. The Dean Thomas protege. She is 12-8, 1 knockout, 9 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 9-6 in the UFC. 2-1 over her last 3. 3-2 over her last 5. 3-4 over her last 7. So it got worse the farther we got along there. Did lose her last fight. Used to fight at flyweight, has missed weight before. 0-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. 4-4 as a pro grappler, at least the stats that they have or the match that they have listed on Wikipedia there. 3 years younger than Viana. She's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.61 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Viana, minus 245. And she is Canadian, technically. She grew up in Florida, I believe. So she's quasi-Canadian from Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is barely Canada, too. All right. What am I doing here, Gumby? Jillian Robertson, really bad in the feet. I'm watching her face the whole time, by the way. Really bad in the feet. Not getting any better. Hasn't improved. She's got to get the fight down to the mat. But Pollyanna Viana gets taken down a lot. That's the problem. But she also has decent grappling herself. And she's way better on the feet. I think I'm going to go back to where I was to begin with. Give me Dama DeFerro. Give me Vienna at the big plus money.
Look at that.
Robertson hasn't been too impressive. And I have a feeling you're going to side with me. I think that's why I took Vienna.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. I like Pollyanna right. Vienna in this fight. I want to make me more confident.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to like Jillian Robertson. Because like you said, you know, like if you just look at the stats, you're like, she hits a bunch of takedowns. Pollyanna gets taken down. You know, that in theory could be enough for us to be like, yeah, let's go with that. But here's the problem. Pollyanna Vienna, like you said, good submission defense, gets back to her feet fine. And if Jillian Robertson spends 2.5 minutes of every round on top, I still think she'll lose this fight. Because the 2.5 minutes that'll take place on the feet will look so bad for her that none of the judges in their right mind would score the fight for her. You know, like she'd have to be on Vienna's back, and I just don't think she's going to get there. I think she's going to get absolutely blistered on the feet over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't think she's going to be able to deal with that striking in her entrance, right? Because in order to enter in on that those takedowns, she's going to have to get past the hands. I don't know that she'll do that. So yeah, I'm going to go with Vienna here too. I think love Robertson, always been a fan of her, but just I don't like how much time she'll probably have to spend on the feet here.
Yeah, that realm is not improved at all for her, right?
It doesn't seem like it, you know? Like, no. It's maybe little bits and pieces, maybe, like, technically and defensively. But, like, here's the thing is, like, I've seen little bits and pieces of the way that she backs away from striking exchanges. But sort of what she needs to do in order to get those takedowns is she needs to move into those striking exchanges and avoid the shots. And like her defense has gotten better in that she's not getting into those exchanges as much anymore, but like she sort of has to be in them to get what she wants at the end of the day anyway. And I don't think she's doing enough of that. So yeah, I'm going to go with Vienna here, especially at +220. Like there's just so much value on that.
That's another thing. Like I said, I don't usually play the lines, 'cause I feel like I should just tell the listeners who I think is going to win and they can decide if the line's decent or not. But yeah, that's another thing that kind of plays into this. Jillian Robertson's not like, this is more of a pick'em fight. If anything,
I think right? So. Yeah. When I saw the fight, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get Jillian as a dog. That was honestly my first thought. And then to see her as a 2-1 favorite, I was like, ooh, man, I am really off that.
Yeah. And like what, 64% home court advantage isn't enough to really make those odds that much higher, especially considering she's been living in, it's not like doesn't have to travel here. She's from, lives in Florida. I think right. She grew up and went to school there and everything too. So, all right, Vienna, let's check out the next fight. Metaweights, Sidi. I think he fought when I was in the ocean on a cruise and I didn't see his first UFC fight. So I don't know how to say his name.
He hasn't fought in the UFC yet.
That's right. He was Contender Series. Excuse me. Yeah. I did see his fight.
Guess who he fought on Contender Series?
Ramon Tavares.
He did. Yeah, he fought Ramon.
That's who he's fighting again here. How do you say his name again? He's Canadian. I should be able to say.
Siri? I think it's Siri.
Siri? Is everyone's Siri's going off right now? Hey, Siri. I'm making everyone angry.
Hey, Siri. Right, hey, play a Quentin Rampage Jackson fight.
Hey, Siri. Play a Taylor Swift song. They probably are already anyway. So anyhow. All right. Let's go. Hey, Siri, put Webster on the TV. All right, bantamweight, Siri Saidi versus Ramon Tavares. Let's stop the silliness. Hey, guess what Tavares' nickname is?
Is it Catch Dem Hands, or is that just his
Instagram handle? That's a good name. Who is that?
I think his Instagram handle is Catch Dem Hands or something
no,
like that.
No, that's a great name.
Catch D's Hands, maybe? Catch D's
That should
hands.
Be his nickname, because his nickname's The Savage.
Oh, okay.
Guess what Jillian Robertson's nickname is?
Savage.
Yeah, The Savage.
Oh, well.
Pascal Siakam got traded. Did you realize that he just got traded? Gumby.
I didn't. That affects my my first bucket articles that I read all the time.
Got traded to the Indiana Pacers for Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwawara, and 3 first-round picks. Boom, 3 first-round picks is good for the Raptors. Raptors are finally tearing things apart.
Poor Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, exactly. He isn't. Well, he'll get to shoot more now. Anywho, it's back to Siri Saidi versus Tavares 2. The fight we didn't know we needed this rematch, and here it is. All right, the Savage Part 2 is 9-2, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. That's Tavares, by the way, in case I lost you all here. He's been knocked out twice. This guy owes his rounds too. A lot of people owe his rounds, and We need that shirt, Gumby. I don't know why it's up to you. I'm working. I don't know why it's up to you, but it's up to you, apparently.
I'm working.
You got the Mantle shirt in there. So, all right. He's 1-1 on Contender Series. He lost to Seidy, and then he won his. He was on twice last season, right?
He was, correct.
Yeah. Which means they only do that with people they really want to get into the UFC, right? Like, okay, well, you were supposed to win your last fight.
He also got screwed out of his fight, too. The reason this is being rematched, in case anybody forgot, on Contender Series, is City hit him with one punch. He fell down, went to go pop up, and the ref waved it off. It was, like, one of the worst stoppages I've ever seen. But, like, and immediately Dana White was like, that's terrible. He signed City, and he was like, Tavares can fight again in 3 weeks.
There you go. And he won. He won that fight, is where I was, long way I was headed to. So he's 1-1 Contender Series, won his last fight via TKO. He got knocked out by Sadie Sadi. Hey, Siri. Has missed weight before. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. Better striking stats. Better, more active landing strikes than Sadi, but we're basing this off 2 fights and 1 fight, respectively. He outstruck his UFC Contender Series, or Dana White Contender Series opponents, by 1.03 strikes a minute. He's at plus 150. Sidey, 10-1. 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. He owes his finishes. Oh, someone owes his rounds. Someone owes his finishes. Something, what's going to give? This is his UFC debut. As Gumby said, 1-0 Contender Series. He beat Tavares. 6 straight fights. He's not lost since February of 2020. 3 straight fights he's won via finish. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store or get the hat. Get anything. Playoffs is the code. You get 15% off. Thanks to me and Gumby. Used to fight up at featherweight. 3 inches of height, 2 inches of reach over Tavares, 2 years younger. He's one of these guys with the plus minus strike differential of 0.0, as they say in Animal House. Minus 170 is the number for him. Gumby.
I'm actually going to go with Tavares.
We are different here.
You mentioned it was in their Contender Series fight, they were even on strikes. And I really like the way that Tavares pushes forward. He really only got into trouble when he stopped pushing forward in that fight. And I think having had a chance to be in there with City, watch that fight back, which I'm sure he's done a dozen times, he knows that he's his best when he comes forward. That's always kind of been the MO of Tavares too on the regional scene, is that like when he moves forward, he's super dangerous. And he puts pace on people. Like, his pace is incredible. And City is one of those, like, long, lanky guys who, like, you know, picks his shots and stuff like that. But I don't know that he's going to be able to counter Tavares with Tavares, like, up in his face enough. I think, you know, when City moves forward and can sort of, like, just pick somebody apart, he does an excellent job of it. But I think Tavares, having kind of been burnt by that once, and I do mean kind of, because he wasn't really burnt by that. That fight should have kept going. I think you're going to see a different version of him in a different game plan coming in. I think you're going to see a lot of forward movement, and I think he's probably going to get to City here.
All right. I'm going Canadian again. I thought I was fading Canadians this episode, but I am not. Apparently maybe tomorrow's the one I fade. I'm not sure. I'll take City. Already beat the man, already knocked the man out. And I shall take him again. So there you go. We differed on one fight. We'll see if we shall differ.
Maybe not the, like, five I thought we were going to.
No, that's because I switched on the one. I was Vienna and then Robertson and then Vienna once again. I talked myself into it. All right, featherweights. Charles Jourdain versus Sean Woodson. Jourdain would be the Canadian here. Yeah, there's a Canadian in every one of these fights, isn't there? Yes, or a fake Canadian. A Canadian that lives somewhere elsewhere. All right, Jourdain and Woodson. We'll tell you about Woodson first. He is the sniper. 10-1-1. 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted one time. 4-1-1 in the UFC. 3-0-1 over his last 4. Has not lost since June of 2020. Used to fight at lightweight. Used to fight at middleweight. 1-0 in Contender Series. 5 inches taller than Jourdain. 9 inches of reach on him. That's pretty nuts, but that's pretty much the case with all of Sean Woodson's fights. He's what, 6'3"? Is that right?
He's tall as hell for featherweight. Yeah.
Yeah. Tall as hell is the official height. I said lightweight. Yeah, he's featherweight. Never mind. He has outstruck his opponents in the UFC by 1.4 and Contender Series by 1.41 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Jourdain, plus 165. Jourdain, 15-6-1, 8 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted once. 6-5-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. Won his last fight via submission. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code. Used to fight at lightweight, 3 years younger than Woodson, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.5 strikes per minute, minus 185. This is me, right? Woodson is a tough guy to crack, but I like Jourdain better. I like his power better. Yeah, Woodson seems breakable at this weight, even though he has not been finished yet. Well, he's been submitted once, but still, I like Jourdain. I like what I've seen out of him recently. I like his all-around game, and I think he's going to be the more powerful fight here, as long as he can get past the 9-inch reach that Woodson's got on him.
All of those finish losses for Sean Woodson, too, it's worth noting, are club and subs. You know, like the Julian Erosa fight, you know, is the one that sticks out for me. He got hit by Julian Erosa and wound up getting Darius choked in that fight. And not for anything, that's kind of been what Charles Jourdain has been up to lately. You know, like he's got a couple of guillotine chokes on his record. You know, he seems to be hitting people, and when they panic, he shoots the takedown. I don't think he's going to have issues with getting on the inside of Woodson. Woodson uses that length mostly for like knees on the inside and stuff like that, rather than for like, you know, sharp jabs and stuff like that. I know he goes by the nickname the Sniper, but like he's not really out here sniping all that often. And I think Charles Jourdain should be able to move around it too. So yeah, give me Jourdain as well.
He's sniping with a pea shooter is what he's sniping with. All right, we'll get you the main event of the prelims after I tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected or probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start waiting with Hall of Fame Bets. And of course, our merch store, 15% off everything in the store now until the end of the month. Promo code, once again, is playoffs. We're also competing against other shows to see who can get the most sales. So make us look good. Help us win some money. Help us beat everyone else. Go buy your MMA gambling merch in there, like the Mantle shirt or the Gumby shirt. It's all there. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. All right. Main event of the prelims. Canadian. Now he is a Irish Canadian. He's bantamweight's Brad Katona versus Garrett Armfield. All right, Armfield, 9-3, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted twice. 1-1 in the UFC. He won via KO his last fight. Was regional champion. 6 inches of reach on Katona. 5 years younger. Better striking stats. More active landing strikes. And he's at plus 165. Katona, Superman, 13-2. 1 knockout, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-2 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's a 2-time tough champion, 2 different weight classes. First person to ever do that. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since September 2019. He's a regional champion as well. Used to fight at featherweight and lightweight. 2014 pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats on Armfield, minus 182. Gumby, finish us off here.
I'm going dog to end it. I'll take Armfield.
So am I.
Come on, really? Yeah. I was wildly underwhelmed with Brad Katona on like the Ultimate Fighter. His fight against Timur Valiyev. I don't know. I just couldn't sell me on him. He seemed to be losing that fight in large portions of it. He was trying to save it with his wrestling. If you go to damage, I actually probably would have scored the fight for Timur Valiyev. And look, Armfield is maybe just like a better version of Valiyev. You know, like you mentioned the loss in his debut. That was on 3 days' notice, up a weight class to David Onama. Any shame in that? Probably not. But the guy's got good wrestling. We've seen it time and time again on the regional scene. And in addition to that, you mentioned huge gaps in the reach here and the height. I think he's going to pick apart Katona as Katona gets frustrated. Probably bad takedown attempts we're going to see from Katona. And Armfield should be able to stuff him, in my opinion. I'm not particularly worried about Katona repeatedly taking down Armfield. So, yeah, I like Armfield here.
Armfield, bigger, younger. Obviously, that's catnip to me, but also better striker and more powerful striking. Also catnip for me. So, yeah, they're the reasons I am taking him here. And he's got really solid takedown defense, or at least he has in the UFC. 75% is his takedown defense on 8 attempts. So not the huge amount, but not, you know, super tiny amount as well. So Armfield is our pick to end things with a nice dog here. All right, we'll recap. We'll get out of here and we'll let Gumby recuperate. Armfield, Jourdain, I got City. He's got Tavares. That's the only changes, only differ fight we differed on is what I'm trying to spit out. We both have Vienna as another big dog. We need some of these big dogs come through this week. Last week, they did not. Lionel say Jesuda Vicious, Gordon, and that is it. Right?
That's right.
SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord is the place to be. You can get more picks from us or chat about anything you want. I just put more breaking news in there, Gumby. Vadim Nemkov has given up his light Bellator light heavyweight belt. Light, yeah. Did you even remember he was the light heavyweight champion?
I did, but I don't know what the significance of him do. Is that so he can fight in the PFL tournament?
I don't know. He surrendered it, though, so there you go.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll talk about Bellator and PFL tomorrow.
Is Bellator real still?
Yeah, apparently.
I didn't think it was
apparently.
Real.
All right. What else can we do? Discord I told you about. Twitter's SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm Jeff Fox writer on Instagram as well. Gumby has a Top Turtle MMA podcast. I have not seen it this week. Gumby, what are you doing to me? You haven't posted it.
I had a maybe interview not come through, and I'd been holding it to maybe squeak in the extra interview.
Yeah.
So by the time you hear this, you will be hearing Top Turtle in your ears too. So you can go ahead and check that out right after you listen to this.
Fantastic. If Gumby doesn't die before then, you will hear it, right?
Yeah, if I don't fall into a never mind, I'm not going to get graphic.
my Discord, my Substack, obviously get in there. Maybe by the time you hear this, my top 24 and under fighters for 2024 will be posted. Who do you think's number 1 on that list, Gumby? Who's the best under 24 fighter right now?
Best under 24 fighter.
Or 24 and under. Sorry. I did.
Man, there's so many people who I'm like, is that person 20? Is Ilia Topuria still under 24?
No, he's not. It's basically all women's strawweights and UFC and men's the flyweights, basically.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm not really great with ages. Like,
all right.
Song Yadong under 24 still?
Nope.
They said he was like 4 when he got signed to the UFC.
Yes.
I remember there was all kinds of like controversy around his birthday.
Everyone will have to read the article then, Gumby included. So that's moneymma.substack.com. And at the very least, enter my pick'em contest, which I'm running for UFC 297. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. They're the places you need to go. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Gumby feels better. If not, he shall be a zombie girl, Gumby Vreeland. I, of course, will remain the future Jeff Fox, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.